Welcome. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And tonight we have another great show dealing with metaphysics and spirituality and science. And I thought tonight would be a great time to talk about planet Earth becoming sacred. Now, some people are familiar with some of the spiritual festivals that are happening and happened in the last week, etc. But I thought that this is a wider subject that most people would be more interested in. And at the same time, I think it fits into the present dilemmas we're having. Now, I have talked about this subject in part, but never really got into any great detail about what the future would look like if we could get there, so to speak. This is going to be hopefully a very uplifting and very positive show. For some people, they might say, well, when are we going to get there? And, of course, if you want to sit and ruminate on that problem, then, of course, you can do so. You can also call in if you want. For those listening on a cell phone or any other kind of phone, if you have an additional phone that you can call in on, you can call 877-876-5227 in the U.S., 888-815-9756 in Canada. The rest of you already know that because you can see that on your screen. And, of course, if you do want to call in, you can do so and offer your opinions, thoughts, questions, anything you would like to say, as long as it can be said over the air. Okay, so now let me go into this subject. Oh, before I go any further, I wanted to thank, and those, this is sort of a private thank you. It's kind of a strange thing to do in a public forum, but for those people who responded to us in any professional way, and we did have some people responding professionally, thank you. Whether or not it was because of anything I said or anything that happened in prior shows, thanks to all the people who have responded and who are professionals to the issues that I talked about in the last week and in times before as well. Okay, so let me continue on with tonight's show, Planet Earth Becoming Sacred. What is that all about? Okay, it must mean that Earth is not sacred at the present time, so I better define what the heck I mean by sacred. Sacred means, in esoteric terms, in metaphysics and esoteric terms, we'll say the eventual ability to create or co-create in a manner with spirit or God's thought. In spiritual thinking or in God's thinking, because spirit is, again, speaking metaphysically, the thought of our Creator. So if we can become a planet where most of the time the planet itself is creating, the planet is creating, but that's mostly due to the people who are on the planet and all the other life forms as well, then if all those life forms are doing so, co-creating with their Creator, then the planet has the expression of being sacred because it can no longer do things that are in any, we'll say, significant way destructive to its own Creator and to life, which is the growth of its Creator. So sacredness means sort of a belief that life is so special because life is the growth of its Creator. And co-creating with that Creator helps to grow that life. Got it? I hope so. Okay, so that's what I mean by sacred. Now, sacred could mean something else, but it means this specifically in terms of Earth becoming sacred, as far as I'm defining it, and many other sources actually do in a similar way. Okay, so how come Earth is not sacred? Well, if we look around us, we see that life is mistreated, and in so many ways, it's almost too numerous to describe. And I don't want to, in tonight's show, go into all those negative issues. I think anyone who lives in this world right now knows there's enough of it going on. And these things that are being done, prohibit the possibility for Earth to be a sacred planet at the time that we're in, as well as it encourages and virtually guarantees the growth of evil. Because evil is the antithesis, the opposite, philosophically speaking, of sacredness. So evil is an anti-sacred thing. Evil seeks to destroy life, especially life that helps to grow its creator in a co-creative way, and it destroys those who are trying to co-create with God. So it seeks a destruction of the very thing that we would call sacred. Okay, what does it mean then for planet Earth to start becoming sacred and then to eventually become sacred? Let me give you some ideas and some thoughts. I'm going to go through what is known as a kind of a ray category, meaning that certain types of energies are going to produce certain kinds of effects. There's seven major kinds of energies. I'm going to kind of follow that as a script to help define what I'm talking about. First of all, let's start with what a lot of people call first ray, first type of energy. This has to do with, in our terminology, humans' terminology, purpose and creation itself, also anything political and governmental, and how people choose to either exist within a governmental society or to even fight or rebel against it. I think the first point of becoming sacred is that if we hold that God has within itself a creative, purposeful, and we could even say willful side, in other words, it's consistent in its choices. Will is just the consistency of making choices over and over again. And it does so because it has a definite plan, but behind the plan is the purpose of the plan, and the purpose is to grow more of itself, but to do so with the tremendous satisfaction and enjoyment of being creative in the process by not involving itself, not usurping the choices of all the life that is involved in producing most of the changes. So the wonderful thing about this is that God decided in its own purpose that it wanted to have a universe, and particularly in the case of planet Earth, a planet, where life would be able to choose for itself to co-create with God or to not. Now, the not part has been happening a lot on Earth for a long time, but the part about choosing the purpose of God is what brings us to joy and bliss eventually in our lives as human beings. It makes our life incredibly meaningful, and this is what God is allowing us to discover. And to discover it in a unique way, because it isn't just about us being co-creative. It's about us making the same sacrifices, this is also part of the first ray, to allow others to do the same and to discover that's the only way it really works. How important is this? Well, right now we are involved in this conflict on planet Earth. There are those, both human beings and countries and systems of government, that believe that they don't want others to be involved in this creative process and to have the rights to be a co-creator. They want them to be subservient. They themselves seek tyrannical control and are offensive to God's very nature and purpose. Some of them do it in ways that are somewhat obstructive, but not completely destructive to life. And others do it in ways that are so obscene as to be completely evil and completely destructive to human life and, in most cases, virtually all other kinds of life as well. The interesting part about this is that either one of these two extremes that I just mentioned could still prevent Earth from ever becoming a sacred planet, because the one leads to the other. Here's the problem. Let's say that you're a person who says, well, I just know better than everybody else. I'm so much smarter than everybody else. I've got the answer, so people better follow what I want. And you have a lot of money, you know, maybe a lot of friends, maybe you have a lot of political power from being in positions of authority. Maybe you have charisma. Maybe you have some other great skill that allows people to want to follow you. As a leader, but not a leader towards being godlike for them, but as a leader who wants to subject and control other people. The eventual outcome of that, even though, let's say, that person, whoever that person might be, is seeking not to destroy life, but to quote-unquote improve life by their own standards, by usurping authority and control over others, and by insisting that their way is the way it's going to be, too bad. That eventually leads to evil. It allows evil to grow in so many numerous ways that I don't want to go into all of them. I'll just give you a few ideas. The first is that all those who think at and worse than that level come on board. The people who don't think like that and don't want that don't join. So the people who are cooperating are at a minimum only equal to the level of darkness that the person who is in control has. But many times worse numbers of people also join up because they know it's a slippery slope and that they can get much more control and much more manipulation and corruption done in that environment, and so they join up. And unfortunately, the people who seek to have a free and, we'll say, purposeful society where people have true input and creation in their lives and the lives of others, and they seek that for all others, those people don't join up. They stand on the sidelines. They may sleep. They may rebel. They may scream out. They may fight. But they don't join up. So inevitably, the process has a continuing darkness that eventually leads to evil. A society that today is moderately tyrannical, moderately oppressive, moderately fighting for control over people's thoughts, their minds, their actions, their plans, their material resources, those societies will inevitably, and not too far into the future, I'm talking maybe a number of years to a few decades, become extremely dark and highly destructive and eventually self-destructive. Okay, so we can see that this is not a good situation. One of the things I didn't say is an option, and it does happen, is some people eventually leave if they can find any place better to go to. So that's another option, and we also should be aware of that. It's less and less true in today's world because where do you go? It's hard to find some place to be more free if you're in a place that's semi-free, and you want to get more free. Very hard. Okay, so I hope I'm explaining this in a way that makes some sense. I want to make it as simple as possible. I realize we're going to say, well, he just started on this first type of energy, and look how much time he's taking. Don't worry. We are going longer tonight, as we have been for the last couple months, unless I'm told otherwise, which I haven't been. And so we're going to be going 15 minutes after the hour. So that gives us more time to go into the subject, and I'm hoping that I can cover everything. I'm kind of pacing myself, but I never know, Hopefully I can cover most, if not all, of what I'd like to include in tonight's show. Okay, so let's go a little further with this idea. This is a biggie, because this is the very beginning of what the nature of sacredness is. If you can't get this right, you're not going to get anything else literally, without there being a basic nature to the way people can live in freedom and the ability to be creative and co-creative with their creator as they define it, and then try to help others to be the same without interfering with them, and to allow God to grow in the way that it sees fit, which is that there be purpose in creation and freedom and liberty and all the words that fit into this first type of energy that needs to be there. It's literally the co-creation of God because it comes from the first ray center, which is a center in each one of our bodies that allows us to co-create with God. It gives us a sense of God strong enough so we can co-create with it. That's why I'm hitting the co-creation so hard, is that you can see how it connects to us in a direct way. It's part of our senses. It's our highest sense. Our sense of not just understanding that we have a creator, but also being a part of that creator. That's the biggest thing we can do. And if we could get this part right, there's no telling how far we can go. Now, you might say, well, can we get to this part if we start at the other side, you know, like the seventh type of energy or the fifth type or the sixth type? Kind of, a little bit, yes. That's how it's been in the past anyway. But it would be better, much better, if we could do it preemptively, where it is a choice to finally take the shackles off of ourselves and stop looking at a kind of nanny state situation, or worse, government by power, influence, and corruption, and instead say, hey, it's time for us to grow up and to recognize that we are the government. We are the governing, and we govern ourselves. Now, you might say, well, what about the Constitution? What about the Declaration of Independence? Doesn't that say that? Yeah, it's a nice piece of paper, but it's fading, and it's going away. It's going away here in the United States, for those of you who are listening elsewhere, and for those of you in countries, and I hope there's some of you, who are living in tyranny and know much worse than what we know here. First of all, my total compassion and thoughts and caring go out to all of you, and may you understand and see how best to achieve a change from where you're at. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? What if some groups are within tyranny? How do they get to becoming a sacred planet if they can't even live within a country that isn't tyrannical? What is the response we need to move in that direction? And the interesting part about this is you don't need as much as you think, because the power of God's thought is so much greater than the power of darkness and evil. Even those who are only partly dark, not necessarily yet evil, because they aren't actively in their conscious thought wanting to destroy life, but nonetheless they want to control, they're arrogant, etc. Those people have a defined weakness. The defined weakness is that when you seek to move away from God, you lose the ability to understand that which you're doing in any meaningful way. And you lose the ability to control others over time. But time is a question. Time is the big issue. It may take 100 years. It may take longer. That's the problem if there isn't some kind of action on the side of goodness, besides just being there. But ultimately, God's thought is so strong because it's part of all life. All life seeks this thing that I'm talking about, to be free and to seek freedom, not just for itself, but for others. And when I say all life, I'm talking about group souls behind the life forms that we are not conscious enough to understand what I'm saying. Those group souls, the souls of those things, understand it enough to be able to respond to it And humans can, as individuals, understand it enough to respond to it on an individual level. Humans are the first creatures, the first beings that can do this. Anything above human can obviously do it. But humans are the big difference between us and the animals in that we can understand and sense how to co-create with our Creator by helping everything else, not just ourselves, to become free and to be co-creative themselves. Okay? So, that being the case, inevitably over time, tyranny will fall victim. It will fall victim because over time, the thought of God is so strong that no amount of lies, no amount of propaganda, no amount of selfishness, no amount of desire to control can eventually overcome it. And eventually it will be overcome. But the eventual part is the problem. Time. You notice I use the word 100 years. And the truth is it could be millennia in some circumstances at different times in history. At the present time, about 100 to 200 years is the correct amount of time. In other words, at the present time in our development on Earth, tyranny can only exist for about 200 years max in any one location. But that's a problem because while we can extinguish it in one location, it can be still rampant in another, and it could even start up in another. So you can have an endless process if you're not careful. How do we overcome it, then, in a more proactive way? The proactive way is to collectively think together and to come up with actions together in those places where people are free enough to do so at the present time, preventing it from getting worse and reversing it as much as possible. I'll give you a direct example. I like examples. Let's say we deal with the United States. In my opinion, the United States is fairly corrupt. It has a number of problems in terms of its political system. The corruption is based upon a desire to control and power. It's also a desire to exercise arrogant attitude in terms of superiority. There are groups of people who believe that they think better than the rest of us. And they know better than the rest of us, and they should be the guiding influence and force about how we live our lives, from our economy and how we make money to how we live in terms of our nature of our physical person, our health, our welfare, and things like that, including taking care of people who are disadvantaged, etc. Their method should be employed to the exclusion of all others. The problem with this, of course, is obviously that the nature of thinking that way is based upon arrogance, and those people who have that in their mind should no more be governing anybody than a pack of wild animals. Probably the pack of wild animals by nature would want to be more free because they have no respect for the construct that God's mind is for all life to seek its own choices and to be co-creative if it chooses to, instead of being a puppet show in which God says, well, I know what's right since I made all you folks, and you're going to do it my way or it's the highway, and that's it. Yeah. Okay, so how do you deal with that? Well, if the United States, which is not nearly as bad as a lot of other places, decided to collectively get rid of its corruption, and if the United States were to adhere to the principles that are in its own Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and other early writings of its founders, the result could be, amazingly, a beacon that would shine through many of the dark spots on Earth. Places like Tehran would end up having revolts going on because in Iran, people don't want their government. They want to get rid of it. being a political capital, it would be inundated with tremendous amounts of, we'll say, insurrection, much more so than we've seen in the last few years, which are easy to put down because guess what? We haven't done an iota, virtually, of what I suggested. We've done the exact opposite, haven't we? So we're encouraging this wrongful, destructive tyranny going on. That's an example of one place, anyway. Same with, so look at North Korea. You might say, oh, but North Korea has 6 million soldiers who all follow one man, and you know, they march and stuff, and yeah, you want to believe that? Now, 5 of those 6 million soldiers are only in the army because they get fed every day, and they're able to live a little better life than if they were a poor dirt farmer where all the food they make is taken away from them and they're starving to death. They're just trying to get by. They don't buy into the system. So I'm saying like 80% probably of the ones that are supposedly the most staunch supporters of the darkness are really not. They're just frightened and seeking to, in their minds, physically live. Now, if we, as a country, and a few, maybe dozen other countries, that purport to support freedom, and we did more in our own country, and then showed and stated showing it to other countries, in more demanding and expressive ways, we would make a huge difference. We can't do it because we have hypocrisy otherwise, and we don't have the will to do it. I mean, why would a corrupt government here be any more concerned about corruption elsewhere? It isn't. Unless it pays off in some way, which is usually a short-term nonsense thing. Okay, so we have an example. I'm using the United States as an example because it's a leading country in the world. But there's a number of other ones I could name, believe me, that we could put into the mix. Okay, so if we're going to make a difference, the leading countries, the ones that purport to be seeking freedom, have to do and show it for all others. Just to want it for yourself is not only against God's idea, because what God wants is for all. But just to want it for yourself also negates God's idea. It's sort of like, again, saying you're special because you're going to be free and who cares if anybody else isn't. Well, then you haven't got the idea about it at all. Because if everyone isn't free, no one is free. We're all bound by our Creator's great, grand ideas. Now, you can argue to say that's not God's idea, that's just your idea. That's okay. I'm willing to argue that. I'm willing to debate that at any time. But the point is, if you don't debate it, if you think that that is true, or if you've read some of the books I've written or heard some other things I've said, or some other things many others have said about the same subject, then you have come to the realization that God really is this great being who seeks the expression of itself by others being free to co-create with it if they choose. Then you start understanding the great sacrifice that God makes and that we can make as well. Would it be sacrificial for us to do this? Of course. Just to get rid of our own corruption would be a great sacrifice, because there would be a number of areas which would in some way adversely initially affect us. You don't get rid of those who seek power and control by just asking them to leave. Because guess what? They don't. You have to be willing to put time and energy and who knows what else. Maybe, as our founders found, in some cases, their very lives, the physical lives, on the line. So it is up to us to make that decision, and hopefully it'll be a grand one. And so, as I speak to you tonight, I let you know that those of you who are probably the majority of people listening, but not all people, you know that it's up to us, because we're in the countries that matter. How do I know it's the majority of people? Because, unfortunately, the other people can't even get on to the source, the internet, to hear this show. Iran, North Korea, Red China, and dozens of other countries have prevented the internet from coming through in a free way. It's scanned and checked and restricted. Yeah, that's the way it is. You want to go to countries like Cuba, or how about Venezuela? Yeah, they're into also controlling as best as I can airways, internet, etc. They're not as good at it as the bigger, more influential tyrannical countries are, but they still manage to do some of it if possible. Remember that the ability to participate at this point is actually a privilege, even though it should be a right. So for those of us who are privileged, we better start treating it like we need it to be a right for all, or we're going to lose it eventually. Remember what I said, that it's a slippery slope, and if you give up some, you eventually give up all. Okay, that just took care of the first part. Okay, I know. Well, whatever is in the show, he's still going. All right, well, I'll go faster with the rest of it. All right, so what are we talking about? Becoming a sacred planet in the first place, the first type of energy that needs to be employed, is a government for the people, by the people, of the people, and encouraging the development for all people and for all life eventually as well. Even less than humans should have some right of autonomy. I'm not saying that you're going to go out and find some cats to vote in the next election or something. No, I'm not goofy like that. Maybe not yet, anyway. What I'm saying is that at their level, animals have rights to the type of freedom that they can respond to. Cats can't respond to an election, so they can't have a right to be participating in it. But they may have a right, and I think they do, to be kept alive and to be taken care of if they were bred, so to speak, by humans wanting them first as pets and then throwing them out to be ferals. I mean, that's something that we have a responsibility for. When I'm talking about cats, I'm talking about, of course, the more common variety, house cats. For the wild cats that are naturally wild, they have a right to continue to be wild. They have a right to continue to exist within the realm of life, to have freedom of choice, to live, to co-create at their level and their group soul's level of choosing to do so. Humans aren't interfering so much with individual animals. We're interfering with the group souls of animals, with the development of whole species and subspecies. It's very dangerous, the stuff that we do. Okay, and that's just the animals. Plants do too, by the way. Oh, yeah, I know. Well, what about all those grains that we grow to eat them? Well, that's okay. There's no problem with that, because when you eat plants, they actually thrive. It helps to develop them. It's a long story, but it's true. And so the propagation of plants is a good thing. If you harm the genetic structure of plants by over-hybridation and other things, that may not be a good thing. Or if you use certain kinds of chemicals on them that are bad for the plants and for us to consume, that's not very good either. All of this has to do with the increasing of life and the life's choices. Behind the plants are group souls of plants that have more thinking nature, and they are making the true choices about a lot of what the plants are doing, not the individual plants themselves. Okay, so let me continue on. At this point, I'm going to switch gears and say, I hope that this first ray energy type thing has gotten through to you. And let's move into the second type of energy. The second type of energy comes from the heart chakra. And that type of energy really has to do with consciousness. It deals so strongly with the idea of being able to be inclusive and to use information in wider and wider ways, to recognize the oneness of God. Remember, on the one side, choices shows the individuality. and the uniqueness of God as expressed through life. But consciousness shows the opposite. And both sides come into play when it comes into thinking. Consciousness allows us to balance out the first type of energy with the second type, which has to do with love that is wise, love that brings together people and allows us to collectively grow more than we would separatively. Okay, so it balances out that first type of energy with another kind that we can see that God is not just a sole individual creator, but a creator based upon huge, as a matter of fact, the entire universe of life. So life is not only growing itself as individuals, which is a wonderful thing, but life also, simultaneously, at certain times, is growing itself collectively as a unit. Now you might say, well, isn't that contradictory to the first thing you said? No, it's not. You can do both. There's no limitation on this. God does both. Why can't we? We can, of course, we're given this opportunity. But there are certain preambles. There are certain things you've got to understand about. And those things include that in order to be able to function as a group, you can't have within it a sense of, again, selfishness towards your being right and everybody else to being wrong, which would be an arrogance and or egotism. And in addition, you also still have to be looking at how you do this so that all parts of the group have the right to still think individually if they choose to. You see, they have a right, just like we have the right, to either be group conscious or individual conscious or some balance between the two that actually we'll call it universally conscious. And that's what God is, universally conscious. So consciousness becomes this tremendous unconditional realm in which we can explore greater and greater levels beyond just being a human being into superhumans and superhumans and etc. until we ourselves can become a creator of a whole universe, just as God is. There's no limitation to this process. This is the wonderful gift we have. But love that is not wise, that does not help others to exercise wise love themselves, is destructive to the process. On a sacred planet, all the love goes towards helping others to become wise lovers, wise givers themselves, exercising great wisdom and judgment, and the construction at a minimum of truth in terms of any kind of mental conclusions. So the coming planet Earth of sacredness would be a Earth in which the collective good is not a collective good that is destructive to the individual, nor is it limiting and preventive of the collective good to become some kind of forced and, we'll say, restricted in thought, living embodiment of being puppets. Rather, it's that the general good is that all are helping all others to have the same choices they have and to find truth by gaining such great understanding and love for all other things that it's a natural state. It is not a state that is enforced. You can never force people to be more conscious. Remember that. You can never force people to be more conscious. And that's something that many people do not understand at this point. I'm going to break for right now. We're going to come back. Yes, we're going to go a little faster through the rest of the show. I wanted to start slower so we can build on these bigger things and get to the more maybe mundane aspects. But still, there's going to be very spiritual. Okay, so we'll be back in about 2.5 minutes from right now.
Hun, what book are you reading? It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hon, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. McFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
This is Why Life Is. I'm your host, Niles McFlower. Tonight we're talking about planet Earth becoming sacred. And I was pretty long-winded on the first half of the show, dealing with the first two types of energies that have to be converted over to a sacred realm. Let me finish up with the second type. So the second type of energy becomes sacred when you have group consciousness growing enormously without anyone being forced to think group consciously. As a matter of fact, it's antithetical, again, to that very principle. You can't force anybody to be conscious. They have to be conscious by choice, which is the first part of thinking, and consciousness is the second part of thought. And the two go hand in hand. You can't contaminate or destroy one with the other. And so, ultimately, in a sacred world, people by nature give wisely to help others to give wisely also, but never force anyone to choose to give or choose to give wisely. They allow others to make that decision themselves when it's appropriate. And when they think that that's appropriate, but most others don't, they become immediately humble and in their humility check and see how come so many are not on the same page with them. That's the key. Humility is the answer to checking the issue. Not force and not predicating any kind of individual actions or non-actions upon what other people think is a group conscious response. Now, you won't find much of that today because that is really foreign, and it's one of the difficulties in the United States that has yet to be, we'll say, developed. The founders talked about this, but unfortunately, it never got seriously addressed because most of the population of the United States a couple hundred years ago was not conscious enough yet to be able to use the system that the founder so amazingly created. So the system was there, but the people weren't quite there. Now, today, are more people there? There are. There are, but I will tell you that there are more tyrannical people also running around. And there's more desire to control, at least on a governmental level, than before. And there's been experiments in consciousness and group consciousness, but most spiritual groups that grew to any specific or any significant, I should say, size in the last couple hundred years in the United States and certain other countries as well, have failed at this idea of freedom in consciousness. And they became, we'll say, just as totalitarian as other kinds of thoughts about how to live, etc., should be carried out. This needs to be corrected, and that's the reason I'm talking tonight about how to become a sacred planet, because we are not going to get there by everybody joining some cult and just following some guru into oblivion or something. Not going to happen. That's not it. As a matter of fact, it's so anti-not it that that's the problem. We don't even know what the word spiritual truly means. Hopefully I'm trying to give you some idea about that. Let's move on to the third type of energy. I haven't covered the second really that well, but I think it'll be incorporated through the other types. And I can always have another show on this. So if we don't finish it tonight, I can keep going. All right. So the third type of energy deals with civilization itself. It's the energy of the throat chakra, and it deals with the ability to express ourselves through the kingdoms lower than ourselves. So civilization is taking something from a non-human perspective, be it animal, vegetable, or mineral, and bringing it into part of our existence, be it steel or some kind of plastic, be it a new kind of plant that we cultivate and grow, or be it some animal that we unfortunately eat or maybe used in some other way. When we bring these in, and they're also pets, of course, too, animals, but when we bring these into our civilization, we use them to extend our senses and our abilities to control our environment. This is what we do. The third type of energy gives us this ability, and by being aware of how to do these things, it's a good thing in general. It's been around, focused in on our planet to help our throat chakras grow in us and everything else that's alive for over 650 years. It's a long time. It's moving out. Yeah, the middle of the towards the end of the year 2012, that's about its peak. But it's slowing down even as I speak, and so people are starting to sense less with their throat chakra, making more and more mistakes. Civilization is becoming more and more disrupted by this, and it's creating a lot of problems. Now, when I talk about civilization, I'm talking about everything from soup to nuts, literally. I'm talking about the military, banking, some forms of formal education, even though that would fall under usually the second type of energy, but actually it's so structured on a national and international scale these days that education even falls under it. And all kinds of means of big business. I mean, big business, not the small businesses that most people may be familiar with. But all of that falls under this tremendous, large group of third-ray type of energy. What needs to change with that? Well, right now, the way this energy is being used, it's being used almost totally to control and manipulate others, to gain power. Power is the big name. More power is what people want. And even money is ultimately, for people misusing the third ray, a means of power. Power and control. Money is compressed time and energy. That's what it really is. But when you use it or abuse it, under this third ray factor, it becomes a need to control others. Again, it has to do with the power thing. It fits in, unfortunately, with the first ray. The two go hand in hand. You find a lot of the corruption in government that is connected to the need for people to have power. They not only want to gain more money, but they want to just have control over everyone else. Humans have a personality, and the personality seeks to control, and is guided by the third right. So that's not surprising, huh? And so it's a tremendously influenced by this particular type of energy. Now, at the present time, this is possibly our greatest problem. Planet Earth is so far from becoming sacred in terms of the third right, it's almost frightening. A couple nights ago, I watched, along with a group of other people, the movie Avatar. I thought that it had a lot of interesting technological ideas and thoughts put into it. It obviously cost a bundle of money to make. I know it's become very popular. Many people have gone to see it. It's supposedly like a number one type movie. But one of the things that really disappointed me was that the movie was so incredibly controlled by the concept of the third right. I was hoping to find that the Avatar, which you may not know what I'm talking about, and the people on this other planet that were supposedly having a different lifestyle from people that were going over there, us, to try to control them. These people did not express a true spiritual way of living. There was only hints of it. Most of it boiled down to a struggle, a fight, between one side and the other. That's not what the third ray is supposed to do. The third ray is supposed to bring together all elements of life and have those elements of life represent diversity while at the same time being able to use energy in the most intelligent way possible. The most intelligent way possible. And for sure, you could say that neither side used the energy in this particular movie in the most intelligent way possible. It's so scary that even a movie that's supposed to kind of have a spiritual kind of message in it misses it. And this is because we are so contaminated, we don't even know what spiritual is anymore. The third way, when it is expressed spiritually, shows people interacting together in the most amazing, intelligent ways. They don't waste energy. They don't have wars. One of the most incredible wastes of energy is war, fighting. Any kind of interaction that is destructive to things, including life, is non-intelligent activity. And against God. God's thought is that all forms of energy should eventually become intelligent, meaning that they're economical, meaning that they're conservative, that they don't waste. They provide for all the needs of the many without being wasteful and destructive to the many or the few. It is a wonderful system. When the third ray is sacred, it's amazing. And we, Earth, is a sacred planet with the third ray being its means. We are a third ray planet, meaning that we can't get to be sacred unless we exercise all of the elements of sacredness along the third ray. On the other rays, we can get maybe 50, 60% there. But on the third way, we have to be like near 100%. That's going to be a tough one from what I see around us. The third right, when it's sacred, has no violence, has no harshness, no subjugation of others. None of the fierceness and brutality that is so evident in almost all parts of where we live. There's no desire, no seeking for control of others. Others being all kinds of life. I'm not just talking about people now. Can you imagine that? I mean, it's even hard. You can't even make a movie that doesn't have those problems in it. If we can't even make a movie about it, you have to ask yourself, are we ever going to be able to live this way? It would mean that no country enacts war on another country. No person violates another person through any type of force or brutality. No person causes others to expend excessive or more energy than is needed to do the best, most intelligent thing possible between their exchanges of energy. That's the ultimate. Getting there, that's the 100%. I said near 100%. Maybe we could get 90% there. I think that could get us to being sacred. But that's a huge step from where we are right now. When you watch people drive cars, they don't even come close to that. They're not really fighting each other most of the time, but yet there's still none of that. The interaction between people is so poor in terms of expending energy that it's scary. We waste 99% of our energies on being selfish as far as this chakra, the throat chakra, and the communications involved in it. The whole communication industry is contaminated with it, and including the internet, which I brought up earlier. Just amazing amounts of waste. That's what's wrong. There's no intelligent activity. It's all unintelligent. There's lots of activity, don't get me wrong, but 99% of it's wasted. And that's how far we are away from where we need to be. All right, what's the next step? Let's talk about some fourth-ray energy. We can come back to any of these, by the way, if I have enough time. I'm just looking at the clock here and seeing how well I'm doing. It's a lot to talk about. Because I got to sum this whole thing up, too, by the way. All right, so the fourth-ray type of energy has to do with being able to balance spirit, God's thought, with living in form. And at this time, we're living in the most difficult kind of form to live in, which is physical form. So this is the place that it's most difficult to balance the two. And this is where the fourth ray has the most amount of problems. Okay, how far away are we from that? Well, we're very far away. Most people don't know the difference between spirit and matter and form. They don't know the difference between form and spirit. We confuse them all the time. We think something is spiritual because it looks a certain way, or because there's a certain ritual involved, or because somebody says it's spiritual. Spiritual, again, is anything that expresses the thought of God, our Creator. And virtue is when that thought is put into form. So the fourth ray is about creating as much virtue, which makes the form beautiful. And the amount that humans are doing this is so small at the present time as to be downright scary. We have a very ugly planet rather than a beautiful one. All the beauty in the planet is the nature of God itself before humans come along. We create very little beauty. Occasionally we do. Once in a while, something so fits and helps our own centers to see beauty that it's a great thing. Some great artists have done this and helped us. Some great architects on occasion have. But in general, we miss it all the time. And so how do we get to the point where we're going to balance spirit with form or matter? How are we going to do that? And that's by the way, that's the sacral center. The word sacred, sacral, you can see the connection. And so this center really is a foundation or base of where we're going to find the answers. The answers are to turn inward rather than outward. We live in a world where if we turn outward, we see and experience too much of the form side. And the energy is so dense and so, unfortunately, illusionary that we misunderstand what we perceive. Instead, we have to look inside. We need to look at those things that are truly ugly around us and then perform the thought process, we'll call it imaginative process as well, which is a part of thought, it's astral thinking, in which we're capable of seeing what it would be like if it were sacred. What would it be like if it was truly an expression of God's thought rather than the ugliness of our illusion thought? That's what it takes. That's what it requires. And we need movies to help us do that. We need a movie like Avatar. Instead of moving to a grand conflict between themselves and the humans, where they beat up the humans eventually because some humans decide to help them out or whatever. Instead of that, where the humans turn inward because they see the people, Navarres or Navarres or whatever they are, those people have such a strong spiritual quality that their inward nature becomes something that the humans desire to have. And they seek it voluntarily. Remember, you can't force someone to become more conscious. You can attract them to it by them seeing something so great that they seek it themselves in beauty. But the beauty has to be exposed. It has to be shown. And that's where the movie went off track. The great beauty was missing. And the humans only saw the ugliness. They thought the whole planet was ugly. And unfortunately, this message was lost in the movie. It was lost to the audience as well, to see the great beauty that could have been there. And then, without an armed conflict, the whole situation could have turned out amazing. But unfortunately, it didn't move that way. I don't want to be so down on this one movie, because it's every movie I've been seeing. I mean, I can't really say, well, gee, it's only this one movie, all these other ones are great. No, it's not. I think that Avatar was a valiant attempt that went wrong. That's the best I can say. Okay, so inward search, inward journey is part of the answer. Part of the answer is for more and more people to start saying, I see the ugliness. I feel the ugliness. I can't stand the ugliness. I'm going to change the ugliness within me and all those that I interact with so that gradually that will become the norm. That's how you do it. You got to change yourself first. You don't change yourself, you're not going to achieve it with others. So it has to come from inward, not just some battle you're going to have on the ground. It's not going to do it. Does that mean that you shouldn't stand up and fight against treachery and tyranny and evil? Well, of course, you may have to, actually, or perish. But the point is, it doesn't stop you from being inwardly connected to God and knowing what true beauty is and still extolling it, even as you might have to fight. I know that sounds contradictory, but it isn't really. Again, it has to do with understanding the full nature of God's mind and seeing that in its expression, there's paradoxes all over the place. There have to be in order for there to be freedom. Okay, let's move on to the fifth type of energy and its expression. This expression really deals with truth. A lot of people call it science, but I like to call it truth. We on Earth, because it's a physical planet, the highest expression of thought for humans on Earth is to express and create truth in our mental thinking. Now, we achieve that by giving wisely. That helps us tremendously. Now, at the present time, there's very little truth and an awful lot of a thing called propaganda, which is anti-truth. How do we stop this? How do we get it to be sacred? Well, the very first thing is to shine light on those things that lack truth in our propaganda or any other kind of untruth. Bring to bear light. Tell the truth. Help others to understand the truth. Express the truth. Teach the truth. Live the truth. And then the world will move towards becoming more sacred. Humans are a tremendously conflictive state right now because we're fighting truth. Every day we wake up and we live our lives in illusion. In order to do that, we have to deny the truth that's all around us. So we actually are in a battle with truth because we prefer to live in the illusion because it's easier And because, at least on a very temporary nature, it may be less frightening. But the truth eventually provides us with an ability to reach beyond the illusion that we live in right now. No matter how comfortable we might be at the present time, we're headed for disaster. Whereas the truth frees us to avoid disaster and to seek really God in mental nature. It allows us to think at the highest levels that most humans can think at without having to create a bunch of nonsense and to disgrace our own minds with lies. Okay, I'm going to move on because we're going to run out of time. The sixth way of expressing ourselves to move towards becoming a sacred planet is through devotion towards givingness and devotion towards becoming more and more of God. You might say, well, isn't that just like the first way where you're going to be co-creative with God? No. Now, this is devotion. It means that you will use the energy of movement, you know, motion, devotion. You use that, the energy of movement, always to move closer to God than away from God. That's what devotion means. And if you're, this is the astral energy, and if you're using that type of energy, it's coming through your solar plexus center. Oh, by the way, I didn't mention that the fifth ray type of energy is coming through the Ajna center in each of our bodies. I should have said that. Sorry about that. Trying to go a little bit too fast. Okay, so back to the solar plexus center. This center really gives us an ability to find the right direction and be able to stick to that direction even when things are not going our way or going the way that we think is the right way. Devotion allows us to stick to it. And those people who live in the United States have personal interest in being devoted to something. So a lot of people are devoted to their religion, which is a certain way of finding God. But really, devotion has to go beyond religion. Religion is a human invention to make sure the devotion is doing what some humans think it should be doing. But real devotion has nothing to do with what some humans think. It's what we find in ourselves. So the religion of universality is a religion where God is uniquely part of the process of finding itself within us. Because we will find God when we can become most devoted without listening to the other devotions of other people and other religions and formalities. When we can do it for ourselves and use that devotion to get us as close as possible to our Creator. That's what it's all about. And the solar plexus center allows us to do that through a thing we call feeling. It gives us the feeling. We know we're right when we feel it's right to be in line with our Creator. This type of energy is very strong in places like the United States, but it's particularly weak in places such as China. So be aware that some countries have problems worse than the U.S., say, because they don't have strong devotion. And so we have the upper edge, if you live in the United States, towards moving in the right direction. That doesn't mean, though, that it always works. We could become devoted to very wrong things that are not towards God. So be aware of that. When it's in the personal part of our interest, the six-ray nature can be completely illusioned and go way off the track. So it's one of the dangers that we do have. Finally, let me talk about the seventh type of energy, which comes from our sexual center. You might say, well, what has it got to do with the sexual? Are we all going to be propagating or something? No, the sexual center has to do with creating new things that have a connection directly to our lower selves. And sometimes, if we're more advanced, to our higher selves as well. It's a way of self-expression that synthesizes us with everybody else, and allows each of us to exercise individuality on both a small scale and eventually collectively on a large scale. It truly is a principle of economy as well. It allows us to use the least amount of energy to gain the most amount of creation. at any one time. Again, through synthesis. Synthesis means that we can use some of the thoughts and ideas of others to support those things that we're creating and vice versa to produce the very best results possible. It's very similar to group consciousness, but it isn't the same because the individuals are still functioning more autonomously, much more autonomously, than would take place during group conscious situations. But it's important because it allows for people to function before they become very spiritual in ways that still represent part of God. It gives diversity to life. It allows life itself to develop without having first to become some great spiritual force into a spiritual part of God through its own diverse nature. It gives uniqueness to life, even life that has not yet become sanctified and sacred. So when you put all these things together, how do you end up with the sacred planet? Because every one of these ideas that I gave you have some paradoxical nature when juxtaposed to some of the other parts of the energies. But when you put them all together and you balance them, you end up with a planet that is the most amazing thing you could ever imagine. A true representation of God. A representation of what it means to, as an entire planet of life, to be literally, consciously choosing to co-create more of God as a planet. Once a planet decides to do this, it is no longer just responsible for itself. It becomes responsible for the development of anywhere from 6 to 9 other planets. Now you could say, how do you know that number? Well, I just think I'm guessing it, but I'm not really. I know it. Okay. And it becomes responsible for all these other planets, because it's a sacred planet now. It becomes responsible for the development, co-development with the star, the sun that is helping to contribute most of the energy that it has, and its original creator as a mass or as an energy body. And it also becomes a co-creator with some other planets that are sacred in some other star systems at the same time. All that happens, and contact and communication is permitted between these planets. You might say, why aren't the aliens are contacting us? And if they do, according to Stephen Hawking, they're going to come and eat us up or something bad. But really not, because the only time a planet can have communication with other planets is if it's sacred, unless it's so evil that it's managed to break through this system. And only a few planets in the whole universe are like that right now. Let's keep it as low as possible and get rid of them as soon as possible and make them sacred. So this is what it's about. This is what the system is about. What would life be on a sacred planet? Well, probably a million times more interesting, meaningful, and amazing than it is right now on Earth. Earth is a struggle daily for all of the obstacles and problems and illusions that I talked about in tonight's show and many other shows where I talk more specifically about illusions. They're just rampant all over the place. It really is difficult for those who are physically alive. Us, right now here. Yes, we're going on to live in astral Earth, which is part Earth but in another dimension. And it's much easier there. But where we are right now, this is where God needs to grow the most, and we are in the armpit. We're in one of the worst planets. We've chosen to be here. Every soul here has chosen to be here. It's seeking to make this planet sacred because it knows how important it is. All of us can be participating on a sacred planet if we choose to make this planet sacred. Now, can you opt out to go to a different planet? Possibly. I don't recommend it, and I don't think you'll do it once you go back to being in full consciousness with your soul. So don't think that that's how you're going to get out of this thing. Probably not. Okay, we are really out of time, and I wanted to talk more about what the whole gestalt of the sacred world is like. Maybe I'll talk a little bit more about it next week, because I really like talking about that. If you haven't heard about it, you should try Ideal Soul Sorption Resveratrol, and also the same product for your pets. ForeverYoungProducts.com, 800-777-7850. Please try it out. Also, Life Balance Association, Get a bottle of Soul Balance. That stuff could keep you and make you healthier and keep you healthy. 602-472-5127. We are out of time. I hope tonight's show has made a difference for some of you, if not all of you. And until next week, this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is.